Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go.
6:12 on a day before the end of the world.
No place to go.
Arma Colden hits tonight. We're talking about how Chicago public schools never close. They closed for tomorrow yesterday. Well, that's a big deal. And Sandberg is still claiming she can't come to work. She's stuck in Mexico.
Oh, poor thing.
Quote, unquote, stuck.
Dave Bennett is, where's Dave Bennett?
He's at in Maryland. They're to have a game tonight against the Terrapins.
Why do you lose Sunday?
They
were afraid of the snow on Monday, yeah. So they decided
why
to
do you really leave Sunday?
I don't know.
Well, nice to see you, Andy.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
You know, they're even closing the zoo, Brookfield Zoo.
Well, you wonder about that, right?
Yeah, because of poor little animals.
Yeah.
So they're closing, yeah, for the fourth time in its history, 85-year history.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, only fourth time. Yeah.
If you're under 40 years old, there's no chance you remember tomorrow is that kind of cold. That kind of cold, yeah. That's going to happen tomorrow hasn't happened in, I don't know, 30 or 40 years, I think, it was the last thing I heard.
It seems like it's following the pattern of the 79 blizzards, or 78, 79. We got dumped on with all that snow, and then next thing you knew, it was like 13 below.
Yeah.
And 85, that was the year, wasn't it, that it was so cold?
Yeah, 85 also.
Yep.
So the wind chill tomorrow at this time, in this hour.
Minus 100 expected.
What? No, but you can see it from here. Minus 56 in Chicago tomorrow morning at this time.
And what's the difference between minus 35 and minus 56?
Death.
Minus 56 is colder.
How do you even judge that?
There's a good thing that we're done with Bears season, because there'd be that one guy who would take his shirt off, something on his chest.
5 minutes outside tomorrow, you got frostbite. Yeah. 5 minutes.
How about that?
If you're uncovered. Right?
Justin, I don't need any bear exposed skin to do that, by the way.
What?
I don't need bear season to do that.
As a matter of fact, Joe does work with the show, through the show, with no shirt. Anyway, tomorrow's going to be really cold. That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Let's get to the top six at six.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't kick.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Current temperature in Chicago is 2. That's not a lot we have to share. There's only 2 degrees.
It's balmy.
We're going to wish for 2 in the next 36 hours. Again, tomorrow, the wind chill 56 below. Actual temperature will be 15 to 20 below tomorrow. And Chicago Public Schools have pre-closed schools around the area. Oh, I'm sorry. Our school closing center is frozen. It's completely frozen. And, well, you're on your own. Now, the school closing center, you're in charge of that, Justin.
Yes, I'll be all over it today. Today, I think you're going to see a lot of districts try to get the school in. I feel, it's also CPS, the one issue.
Could they do
CPS
2 today?
Maybe they can play 2.
It's
double day.
Week.
The Ernie Banks special today,
It's finals week for CPS high schools, too.
Oh, so boy.
It's going to cause a lot of trouble. But you can't really have a full load of classes at negative 20.
And you can't have kids walking outside in this weather.
And, you know, I read the story about the kids. I guess teenage boys are really into wearing shorts and no jackets during the winter. That's like their thing because it's fashionable.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they have to take that into account.
Pat Brady had a great idea last night. He called. He goes, you know what would be funny? He said, we're coming in on Wednesday because I'm off Thursday. We're coming in on Wednesday. We're going to talk politics in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow. He said, well, if we come in shorts and a golf shirt and we go outside and hit balls tomorrow. I said, you know
funny.
What? I said, bring in your 6-iron so I can hit you in the side of the head. It's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
I'd go through a paywall to see that.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Are those kids who are wearing shorts in the cold weather the same kids that are eating the Tide Pods?
Yes.
Yeah, by law.
It's a big issue.
Kids.
If you talk to moms who talk to, have kids, teenage kids, they're, for some reason, this generation, they're not fazed by the cold. It's more about, I'm going to wear shorts and
they don't wear
jackets,
winter coats.
They don't wear their jackets.
Yeah. Okay, but again, be a parent.
No, I know, but
you see kids outside in shorts at 13 or 14 years old. Be a parent.
I think they do.
You're not going to go outside in shorts.
What are they
going
to do? Throw the things on their body? I mean, physically.
No, then you know what? You don't let them go to school, or you make them go to school, and you drive them, and you walk in with them, and you say, this is my idiot son in his shorts.
They learn when they go to college and they have to walk to class. Yeah. Then they realize, hey, I need a winter coat.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah.
You create respect by demanding it early, not at 17. All right, what are we doing? That's what we're doing. Duck me. The president could be, in on the cold. Listen, this is an exact tweet. In the beautiful Midwest, wind chill temperatures are reaching minus 60 degrees, the coldest ever recorded. In coming days, expected to get even colder. People can't last outside even for minutes. What the hell is going on with global warming?
No, global waming.
I know. I said warming because that's the actual word. What the hell is going on with global waming? Please come back fast. We need you. For the 9,000th time, and that's the low number, global warming, climate change is climate. It's not the temperature. It's not the temperature of the air. It's, why am I trying to explain?
You can't.
Good God. Next. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker said yesterday the Mueller investigation is close to being completed. You can't say that because you're not supposed to talk about an ongoing investigation. And there's a theory this morning that one of two things is possible. Mm. Either Matthew Whitaker did this because Trump told him to do it because he thought it would make Mueller wrap things up faster and he would be vindicated. Or did he screw up to a level where Congress then confirms Bill Barr, or Bob Barr, the incoming attorney general, who is more competent and less likely to screw things up than Matthew Whitaker.
Do you think Congress, the Senate specifically, do you think that they are going to try and fast-track that? Because there was even questions about the legitimacy of Whitaker as the attorney general. Do they fast-track the
Get him out. Yeah. I'd vote on him this morning. It's going to be too cold to vote tomorrow. Next. Quack! We got a quack problem?
Yeah. Well,
Joe, you quack.
It's cold. It's cold.
Joe, you quack. Turn the microphone on and quack for me.
Quack, quack.
There you go. Did our duck freeze? You got a frozen duck?
Frozen duck.
He's stuck in the Chicago River.
Well, I report out this morning, the FBI is just, and this is a big story.
Crazy, yeah.
Remember when Ed Burke got nailed, we thought, well, where does this go? Does this go to Madigan? A report out this morning that the FBI has a secret recording of House Speaker Mike Madigan, who was allegedly pitching his law firm to a developer. The developer was sent to him by Alderman Solis. Alderman Solis is a guy that wore the wire in a deal to stay out of jail to nail Ed Burke. Apparently, the FBI has 18,000 phone calls with Solis. And very few of them are, hey, how about them bears? On those phone calls, Solis has offered cash and sex in exchange for pushing policy through city council.
Oh, man. If you thought that this story with Ed Burke and Danny Solis could get any more salacious, throw sex. It needs to be. I mean, we're getting to the point of a Kelsey Grammer vehicle.
I'm catching up on the Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that kind of stuff. You know, remember when you used to have to turn on TV and cool cable TV to get these kind of stories?
Mm-hmm.
Now you just watch political coverage every day.
You know, when you hear that, so essentially you're talking about, hey, we really want to get our legislation, our ordinances through city council. What can we offer you, Alderman?
Sex, cash, both?
Sex, cash, and he's accepting. Or maybe allegedly, but it's so cliche. But I guess that's politics. You thought that would be gone. That would be something of the 60s and 70s. But how are we in 2019? How can an alderman be like, I'll take sex?
One of the most...
How could that even be a thing?
One of the most time-tested things is how stupid men can be over sex.
It's amazing.
Also, if this is like widespread, if this is happening with other aldermen, it explains why we heard last week these aldermen angry that they were possibly being recorded by law enforcement.
Hey, we're a family. What are you talking about? We're a family.
it makes you think about what was being offered to all of them.
In other words, this story is going to get bigger.
And the bigger issue is Mike Madigan, who has been squeaky clean as much as he can be as the most powerful politician in Illinois, is on this tape. There is a tape. There is an FBI secret recording. We don't know what it is, but the idea that he's on it with a developer sent to him by Danny Solis, and he's pitching his own private tax law firm, just like Ed Burke did, you wonder about if that has implications.
The thing that's amazing about this is Ed Burke, and I had a conversation with somebody that is good friends with Ed Burke and knows him much better than I ever could. But Ed Burke and Mike Madigan are politically savvy like nobody else. You find it hard to believe they could let their guard down and be this stupid. But anything's possible.
Is it possible they trusted Danny Solis? Is this where they went wrong? They vetted him and he was part of the inner circle?
Yeah, and he was so busy collecting cash and sex, supposedly, he couldn't make good decisions.
Or just
Where's the rock and roll? Come on.
Next, new study's out saying toddler screen time is tied to poor development as they get older. Too much screen time can lead to poor communication, motor skills, problem solving, and personal social skill issues. Mary Vandeveld, now you are both grandparents now, and you know the last thing you want is a toddler who just has his or her head down, just texting. You know, toddler texting is a major
toddler
problem.
Toddler texting is a big issue.
Yeah, my granddaughter's already stealing the phone off the table. She just looks at it, and she plays with it all the time.
Recommended dose of screen time, 1 hour of quality programming per day, no more.
Yeah, they take it away from her, but she just finds it again.
Now, I will say this. Cartoons ain't what they used to be, but there's a lot of quality kids programming out there. It's not just Sesame Street.
The question is, what's the differential? You know, do they consider in these studies quality programming and screen time to be TV as well? And they're talking about development from when you're 2 years old, you're having developmental issues at four. So it's like they're seeing when you have to start learning how to communicate with people, you know, and get socialized, that's where you're seeing the
trouble. Well, again, it's very sad for a two-year-old to grow into a four-year-old who's outside smoking cigarettes. I mean, you don't want to see that.
Let me do a plug here for my colleague Ryan Burrow, beginning at 7 o'clock. He's going to be discussing some of this. New series called Cracking the Cell Phone Addiction. The impact on all of us, really, from our mobile phone addiction.
So not just toddlers.
Not just toddlers, everybody.
I'm sorry, what's the...
That's at 7 o'clock.
I was looking at my phone. What?
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention.
And toddlers see their parents do it. That's why they do it.
I should have mentioned this before, but speaking of all sorts of troubles, nobody knows. you see who Michael Cohen's new attorney is?
Mike Monaco. Yeah.
Mike Monaco.
A regular on the Ro Khan show. How about that?
And a friend of the radio station.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
great lawyer.
I think Mike listens here most mornings.
Yeah.
So how about that? Mike Monaco and his partner are Michael Cohen's new... Yeah, and by the way, how weird is it when Michael Cohen is emerging as the good guy in all of this? Ooh, I sure hope that Michael Cohen comes through, and I hope he's okay. This is one of the biggest creeps in the world.
He's become an American hero.
And finally, Chicago's very own Anthony Davis wants out in New Orleans with the Pelicans. The All-Star Center is as dominant as they come, and trade would be very costly, but according to Sun Times, the Bulls may have the pieces to bring him home.
Andy's shaking his head.
No chance.
In other words, if the Bulls trade all 12 players on the roster,
they have the number one
Anthony Davis?
The Pelicans would need the number one picks, and the Bulls have.
Well, they have to include Gar Forman and John Paxson as well.
So if you took all 12 of the current members on the roster, the guys that come out in shorts and sit on the bench,
correct?
All 12 of those guys, plus Forman, plus Paxson, plus what?
All the picks.
Yeah, Benny the Bull, too, has to go.
Concert tickets for every concert at the United Center all year long?
Hochberg Suite, all of it.
The Hochberg Suite? Yeah.
All of it.
He's not coming here. He's been telling friends that he does not want to be in Chicago. I think
he doesn't want to be in Chicago, or he doesn't want to play for a losing team.
I think it kind of goes hand in hand. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with not wanting to be here because the Bulls are still here.
I don't think he'd want to come home.
Well, and you know, it's also something to look at because you know the organization has had its issues with players that are from Chicago. Look at what's going on with Jabari Parker right now. I mean, that was a bad signing to begin with. He's riding bench, and
I don't think it has anything to do with being from here. I think it has to do with bad management, and bad coaching.
Well, it's just a wreck. I mean, it's just an absolute wreck.
Thanks for the cold water on this cold day.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen.
I was looking forward.
How about one of his eyebrows? Can we get one of his eyebrows?
No way.
He only has one.
He does have one. It's the monobrow.
Yeah, but some reports are saying that he's not interested in playing for the Celtics, and that's the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's a knock on Chicago as much as it's this guy just wants to go.
Well,
pair
who
up
does
with
Anthony want to play for then?
The Lakers.
Everybody wants to play for the Lakers.
Wow, there's only one ball.
Yeah.
This is the thing I don't understand. It's only one. Whatever.
Yeah, he comes to Chicago, he'd be the king, and if he brought the Bulls back, he would be a legend at the level of...
I'd love to see it happen. I just don't see it happening.
I'm scheduled not to care until the Bulls get their act together.
Would you care if Anthony Davis came to town, though? If they
That'd be fun.
Board? Yeah, then
That'd
you'd be, fun. Be more interested.
He's averaging almost 30 points a game this year.
He's unbelievable. Yeah.
American Weathermakers, thanks for that. That's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I need a haircut. Actually, I had to write that down.
You need a haircut?
That's random.
I had to write down, I need a haircut.
My son and husband both said that at dinner last night at the table. We need haircuts.
I'm like, oh, I thought okay. They said, I need a haircut.
Well, they
we
did.
We can tell Steve that he needs a haircut.
I'm like, what's the deal?
Mary, are you the official haircutter in the house?
No.
I thought they were like getting appointments.
I don't even make their appointments. They do it online. I'm like, okay, well, make your appointments.
Sometimes I'll call to make an appointment for a haircut, and they'll go, it's a little tight. I'll go, seriously, you have no time for me? I'm a drive-by. You know, you just hold up the clippers. I'm in and I'm out.
I put the flashers on. You get in the car right. With
I literally don't have to park.
Drive by haircut. That's hilarious.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Firing up the kids since 2000 on Kid of the Week. Welcome to another exciting edition. And Thomas Tulp is standing by on the phone, a previous Kid of the Week winner. Yeah. Good morning, Thomas.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Returning champ.
Good.
You know you were Kid of the Week 3 years ago?
Yes.
You're only 8 then. Fill me in on what's happened since you were 8. And don't leave a thing out.
Okay. I had Mama Vesuvio's thing, a spaghetti dinner. We did more golf outings. We did
games. You're always working, taking care of other people, and specifically St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. But I was talking about you. Let's catch up on you first. You playing ball?
Yep.
Baseball, football, basketball?
Baseball.
Baseball. What position?
First pitcher and sometimes second base.
Better glove or stick?
Glove.
Oh, so you're a defensive man, a glove man. White Sox or Cubs?
Cubs.
We're going to need you to play for the White Sox, son. We're going to need you to sign you right now. We can maybe get you over to the Cubs later, but the White Sox need your help now. Are you really sold on continuing going to school?
Yes.
Ugh, Thomas, you're too good a kid. It's great to have you back on the show. Tell me, give me an update now. You started and I interrupted you, but you're raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. You started that when you're 4 years old, going door to door, taking donations in a peanut butter jar at the age of 4. And I would assume, Thomas, you really traded on being cute at that age. You raised $130.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, you sold popcorn, tomatoes, a garage sales, baseball games, golf outings, stuff you were talking about. Big $2,000 raffle. So how much have you raised?
So far, it was
$26,747.43.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
I want every adult listening right now to tell me, have you ever raised $26,747.43 for any charitable cause? No?
No.
Raise your hand. Keep one hand on the wheel, but raise your hand. Thomas, you're crushing it. Good for you, man. Modest, so modest. He doesn't get it.
I got first place for the Chicagoland area.
Why? I would
That's
hope
amazing.
So. If anybody clipped that number, we'd have to hang up on you and call them.
Thomas, is there a number? You've earned $26,000 for St. Jude's. Is there a number where you'll stop? What's the stopping point?
Until I give up, like.
Because the goal is. By the way, who's feeding you lines? Is that mom or dad? Now, there's somebody in the background feeding you lines. Tell them you're doing just fine and just talk to me, okay? Here's what I was told. You want to keep doing this until all kids can go home. I think that's a great sentiment. So how did you find out about St. Jude's?
The commercials.
And the commercials are very moving. They're great. I mean, I guess, Thomas, you probably realize how lucky you are and all other healthy kids are, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what grade are you in now?
Sixth.
And I'm sure we covered this before, but what do you want to be when you grow up?
A biochemist.
A biochemist. Nice. That's right. I remember you.
Uh-huh.
You are the biochemist. And where's the interest in biochemistry come from?
So I can help the kids with the cancer, and I can find a cure for Alzheimer's.
You're unbelievable, dude. You are unbelievable.
Thomas, you know, it's been a couple years since we've talked with you, but you've been doing fundraising since you were really young, 4 years old. What's the secret? Talk to others who may want to get into fundraising, may want to help out with causes, but don't know how to raise the money. You're almost an expert at this point, so what is the secret?
Just ask people. Don't stop asking. Just going until you hit something, then just go bigger.
You're a good man. You're a good man. Anybody in the family helping out with this?
Yep.
You want to tell us who, or is that top secret?
Well, one, we have Ozinga helping us.
Oh, that's a company.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then we got one of my best friends' dad who's helping us with the posters.
Good. So it's like a community extended family kind of effort.
Yes.
You're a good man, Thomas. I'm very impressed by you. You know, and you keep calling up and keep winning as Kid of the Week. I mean, you're going to be up to your neck in pizza. But we have more for you from Lou Malnati's and an app gift card as well. And we're talking about a Kid of the Week reunion, and I want you to be a part of that if we pull that off.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also have a Facebook page.
Well, you better plug it then.
It's TNT for St. Jude's.
T-M or N? TNT for St. Jude's. Even his Facebook page is cool. TNT for St. Jude's. All right, you want to say hi to anybody? Teachers, friends, neighbors, who?
Hi, Grandma.
Always take care of Grandma.
Always.
You're a good man. Now high five your dad or whoever that is behind you. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right. A lot of pressure.
$26,000. Uh-huh.
Biochemistry.
And a man a few words, too. He's going, look, clown, I've only got so much time to talk to you.
I got money to raise.
I got to get back out there.
Time is money.
He's 11, so what is that, sixth grade, he said?
Yeah, sixth grade. Yeah,
sixth grade. He's sixth grade. I got sixth grade. I got to raise money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's going to be cold. I only have so much time for you, pal.
This puff piece is stopping me from getting another
ka-ching. Exactly right.
Right?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, again, the FBI secretly recorded Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan trying to get business for his private law firm from a developer brought to him by Alderman Danny Solis. He was weighing the developer's request to build a hotel in Chinatown. Why is all this important? It's because it appears to be at least bordering on illegal. The affidavit makes clear for the first time that the federal investigation that got Ed Burke goes beyond City Hall to the Illinois State House. And again, you don't need to be a genius or politically connected to go Ed Burke, the most veteran of all the aldermen, the one who knows every bone and every bone's burial spot in Chicago. Could he possibly be tied to the most powerful Democrat in the state, Mike Madigan? Well, of course, it's a possibility.
You know, that story's going to play out. There's no doubt about it, because if they're tapes, then I'm sure the FBI is looking into what was said in that tape. I cannot believe we're glossing over the salacious material that's in the Sun-Times today about Alderman Danny Solis, who...
We'll get there. We're not glossing over.
I'm looking at the stuff. There are transcripts in the Sun-Times, and we're talking about...
Well, I got it right here.
I don't even know if you could say this stuff on the radio.
Danny Solis allegedly received sex acts, Viagra... By the way, that's out of order. Viagra, sex acts, free weekend use of an Indiana farm once owned by Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Did he love farming? Is that why he was there? Or was that his getaway?
I feel like it's all connected in some form.
That all in exchange for shepherding official city council actions to the people that needed to get them done in exchange for their own payments. The allegations contained in a search warrant application that helps explain why Solis ratted out Ed Burke. Hey, we don't talk. We're family here. We don't talk. No charges have been filed publicly against Solis, though that door is certainly still open. And it'll be interesting to see what the mayor says today.
There's a political operative at the center of this, Roberto Caldero, who seems to be the guy that Alderman Danny Solis was going to for all of this. And the I'm not gonna stoop to. I mean, it's in the paper, so I guess it's fair game. But some of the stuff that is in the story today in the Chicago Sun-Times has to do with what Alderman Solis was asking Caldero for. Including massage parlors and specific things that's massage parlors, how much money Viagra is, or as Solis called it, the blue medicine.
The story
only in Chicago.
The story portrays Solis as deeply in debt, and this is the verbiage: routinely on the prowl for sex, Viagra, campaign contributions, and other favors. Would it be any shock that that guy would turn on you if that guy is described accurately? It's not good.
All this to push favor on ordinances and other official city council business.
2015, Solis called Alderman Caldero with a request. Here's a quote from the phone call as leaked. I want to get a good massage with a nice ending. Well, don't we all want happy endings to stories?
I was just going to interpret. I was just going to let that lie there. You're going specific to the specifics.
Oh, listen.
I like it. Steve goes right to it.
Do you know any good places, the alderman asks? You know any good places that have stories with happy endings? You know, that kind of thing? Caldera, 65, longtime political friend of both Solis and former Representative Luis Gutierrez, says, if Danny asked me for almost anything, I would do it. It's never been a quid pro quo.
No, we don't do that in Chicago. There's no quid pro quo in Chicago.
You got to have a fixer.
Come on.
You got to have a guy you can go to.
Meanwhile, Mike Madigan is on the phone now. Joe? No? Oh, he's not calling in? Oh, I thought he'd call in today. The story gets better and better. And by better and better, I mean worse and worse. The Oprah farm, the former Oprah farm owned by somebody new since 2011. This is the excuse on why nothing nefarious went down. We've hosted hundreds of friends and families. Needless to say, Danny was not charged with anything, but he and his son are my friends, and we had a nice barbecue. Yeah, other than that, the wire is all false.
And what kind of girls were at the...
There's a quote in there, and again,
at the farm.
Not my quote. There's a quote in the story.
It's in the Sun Times.
Attributed to Danny Solis. Asians good. I like Asians. Okay, so there you go.
Essentially, he says, "What kind of girls do they have at the massage?"
Asians good. I like Asians.
Asians said, "Good, good. Yeah, I like."
Well, who doesn't enjoy the Asians as people? Just trying to help you out, Alderman. I mean, just trying to help you. Cold now for a nice barbecue. I hope you're not there.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, 710 now, and we are efforting the four co-byline writers, or the four co-writers in the byline, I should say, in a Sun-Times story this morning, tying Solis, Burke, Madigan, and a bunch of other folks together. But again, it's early in the reporting. We'll get back to it. And Senator Durbin joins us now. And frankly, sir, I'd prefer to focus on the national stuff with you, if you don't mind.
Happy to do it.
So let's start about this border security issue, the alleged threat in just under 3 weeks that the president will shut it down again. Is that a possibility?
I don't think the Senate Republicans or the House Republicans will let him do it. After 35 days, they said enough was enough. They made it clear to the president and to their leaders they were no longer going to support the president with his shutdown, and that was the end of it. I tell you, I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when the air traffic controllers started announcing that they were going to have to slow down the takeoff and arrival of planes for safety's purposes. You know, understand, I've met with these air traffic controllers in Aurora last Wednesday, and they work 10-hour shifts 6 days a week. That's their ordinary course of business because they have staff shortages. Now, to think these poor men and women have to face the prospect of coming up with enough cash to buy gasoline for the car to get into work while they're not being paid, I would kind of like these air traffic controllers to be focusing on their job rather than worrying about a mortgage payment or filling out the gas tank.
All makes sense. And you're on a conference committee that's tasked with trying to hash out a deal. What's the timeline for this? Do you expect something to happen quickly, or is it going to go down to the 12th hour?
we're going to meet the first time this week. We have 3 weeks to get it done. Steve, I've been through this a couple times.
Once or twice, yeah.
This is not rocket science. People of goodwill and good faith can sit down and work it out, as long as there's not a veto from the White House over some unreasonable portion of it. We need to find a bipartisan answer to this quickly. We have lots of other work to do out here in Washington. Let's get this behind us.
Acting Attorney General Whitaker last night stumbling seemed to indicate that the Mueller report was almost done. I don't know if you meant to say it or you didn't mean to say it. There's a lot of conspiracy theories behind it. Does this change the timetable in the Senate on confirmation of the likely next Attorney General, Mr. Barr?
He will be postponed this week, but that is routine. It's no reflection on his nomination or the man personally. Routine, they put him over for a week so that we can consider all the information that's being gathered. I haven't had a chance to sit down with him yet. I hope I will. We did have our hearing, of course. And I would imagine in a week or two, his confirmation hearing will result in a vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee, probably move to the Senate floor the following week. So we're 3 or 4 weeks away from filling that spot if he is selected.
With or without Whitaker?
Yes. And I think Mr. Whitaker has been an interim. We've understood that after Jeff Sessions left. But we've known from the beginning that he's not going to stay.
Senator Durbin, back to the government shutdown. Is there any way that we could see Democrats give the president his wall?
Well, the word wall is so incendiary now. It really puts people on edge on both sides. And what I can tell you is that we have 650 miles on our Mexican border of fencing. And we've been voting for it over the last 10 or 15 years under Democratic and Republican presidents with routine extensions of those fences. Then the president came in and interjected the phrase wall, a big concrete wall from sea to shining sea, and a new image was created. I think that is a bad decision, and I think he has even abandoned it at this point. If you're asking me whether or not we should continue to look for fencing in the appropriate places, of course. But this notion of a sea to shining sea wall is out of the picture at this point.
Yeah, and also the extra technology drones and more border security guards and all the other stuff that's logically needed and asked for. Both parties are in agreement to pay for that, right?
Absolutely. And when I sit down with the experts in our government who've been around through presidents of both parties and said, okay, blank check time, what would you do on the border to make us safer? Stop narcotics by scanning all the cars and trucks coming in the United States through ports of entry. 90% of the drugs come in through those ports of entry, not over somebody's wall. So scanning devices, drones, as you mentioned. You don't need Border Patrol agents reaching arm to arm across our border if you have drones that are constantly monitoring the scene and people can respond as they come up with something important.
Before the entire city freezes over, two other quick things. Venezuela and China. Venezuela, 5,000 troops being moved to Colombia, if you believe what was on the notepad of Mr. Bolton yesterday. China, the Huawei decision on what we do and how we do it and why that's a big deal. Comments on either?
Well, this morning I get an email from a member of my staff, crack of dawn. It is possible that if you have FaceTime on your phone, it's been compromised, and they're monitoring what you were saying, close down FaceTime. Well, I don't think there's a grandparent alive, my wife and myself included, it doesn't have FaceTime, so I shut it down. That is the kind of vulnerability that we have. Now, do we want to invite in Chinese technology companies, which may have embedded in the products you buy, some access to information about you and your family and your business? Of course not. So that, I think, is the reason why we've got to be vigilant, particularly when it comes to China, which is notorious in terms of this kind of theft of information. When it comes to Venezuela, Steve, I was there a year ago. I met with Maduro, the dictator who is currently in charge in Venezuela. And then I also met with this, I'm going to mispronounce his name, it's a tough one, Guaido,
yes,
who is a member of the National Assembly. He told me, in a group of five we met, you know, you come back a year from now, Senator, two of us are going to be in jail, two will be exiled, and one will disappear. That's what happens to Maduro's opponents. Well, this 35-year-old engineer stepped out and said, it's time for a free and credible election. Venezuela needs different new leadership. I couldn't agree more. Do I want military intervention? Of course not. What we've got to do is join all the other South and Central American nations, save three, that have said it's time for a change. Venezuela is a collapsed government. government. It is a nation that is dying, and millions are fleeing because it's just uninhabitable.
Yeah, I just sometimes I get concerned that we're so focused on the craziness that's going on in country, we miss the really important stories outside the country, and those two really have to be top of mind.
Well, if you went, as I did, to a children's hospital in Caracas, where they don't have antibiotics or any kind of cancer drugs, if you notice on the street that people are losing weight, children are fainting at school from malnutrition.
Eating out of dumpsters?
It's incredibly awful, and the poorest people on earth are suffering terribly. This Maduro regime is awful, and I hope they can replace it with some credible leader who will finally bring that country
together.
That's
a great country, and it needs to be saved. Thank you, Senator.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks.
There you go.
Thanks.
Senator Durbin, who I believe is still safely ensconced in D.C. where the temperature's above 20.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to get the cold, are they?
I don't think they are, unfortunately, because then it would be, I mean, it's actually a pretty big story. It's a national story about the cold in the Midwest. But imagine if it was polar vortex on the East Coast.
How cool would that be if the national polar vortex dropped down and it only encircled D.C., just inside the Beltway in D.C.?
Yeah,
and it stayed.
And it stayed right
until
there.
They all left.
Made them all stay indoors and have to communicate with each other.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're just talking off the air. What did you do last night? You whacked your trees and bushes?
I did. Lou told us yesterday, if you have any evergreen or bushes in your yard, you want to get snow off of them before this deep freeze comes in so that they can breathe. Otherwise, they'll die. And then you'll have to replace them in the summer. I did a mediocre job.
But you got some of it off.
I got some of it
enough
off.
Enough to save them.
Enough to say that I tried.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a feeling that we'll get to spring and they won't come back to life. And I'll be like, well, I could have tried harder.
Speaking of outside, we have had no produce drops at Pete's house.
Too cold.
It's too cold for the creeps to come by and mysteriously drop off eggplant or other vegetables. Oh, we'll keep you up to date on that story. Did you get Zipcock yesterday, Andy Mazur?
Zipcock.
Zipcock?
Cock. Oh, I was going to go get it, and I forgot. I didn't write it down. Thanks for reminding me. I'm going to go do it today.
You burn out brain cells when you get up at this hour.
Yeah.
Great preparation for this
Well, I've done some preparation, man. I've been trying to put, like, towels and stuff underneath the doors to prevent the wind from whipping the cold air from the front door in.
Zip cock might be better than your towels, but
yeah,
that could be just me.
Probably right.
The other thing we remember from yesterday is to make sure all your windows are locked. Not just closed.
Put
and
your blinds
kind of
down, too.
And put your blinds down. Very good.
Yeah, I did that, too.
And then the biggest issue, as far as your house goes, trying to keep your pipes from freezing. If you have any pipes on exterior walls, for instance, most kitchen sinks are up against an exterior wall, then open the doors so the heat from your room helps heat the pipes underneath and run a trickle.
I did that.
Old Dick trickle.
Yep.
The old NASCAR treatment.
The old NASCAR guy.
And hopefully you don't have any little children who will climb under there. No. You know?
Yeah, right.
Also, don't go out with your hair wet tomorrow morning.
Could freeze on you.
I did that yesterday.
Yeah. Tough being a girl.
Big deal.
Huh, Vanderbilt? Isn't that tough being a girl?
Just put my hood up. It was fine.
Yeah, it's tough.
There you go.
Totally tough. So I want to get to our MVPP in just a second, but Mary, a story for you. Yesterday, I was doing my Monday Afternoons with Abigail Grace thing.
Aww.
And after she wakes up from her nap, I always ask her if she had any dreams. And usually she dreamed about bunnies. But yesterday I asked her what she dreamed about, and she said, I dreamed about heads. H-E-A-D-S, heads.
Large heads?
Okay. That's where this is going.
Oh, boy.
She goes, Pops, you were in the dream.
Oh, no.
So I said, was your dream about big heads? And she just looked at me and went, yeah.
At least she didn't say chia pets.
Yeah. Yeah, you were.
Ugh. And that was it, huh?
That's it. 7:25. Your most valuable person on the planet this morning is Douglas Schenkelberg. And Justin, explain who Mr. Schenkelberg is.
He's the executive director of the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, which has been a longtime advocate since 1980. They organize and advocate to prevent and end homelessness because they believe housing is a human right in a just society. Douglas is on the phone with us now. Obviously, Douglas, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to this kind of cold. At the Coalition, when you see cold snaps like this come through, is there a mobilization effort? Obviously, you're an advocacy group. You're not on the street to help, but do you start to mobilize funds and just awareness about the cold and what it can do to people who live on the street?
Yeah, most definitely. Thanks so much for having me on this morning. We definitely respond when we see extreme weather coming, whether it's this polar vortex coming or there's extreme heat in the summer. As you said, we aren't the ones out there doing this emergency response in these situations, but a lot of folks look to us for information about how to handle the situation, what to do if they encounter someone on the street. And so we make sure that we're available, providing information, using all of our communications channels to get the word out. We are in regular communication with the city of Chicago to make sure we understand what they're doing to prepare, and we can share that information in a timely manner, just so folks are really ready to respond if they see someone that's in need of assistance.
This is cold that we haven't seen possibly in the history of Chicago.
Right.
You know, if you are somebody who encounters someone who's living on the street or is homeless in this weather, in this polar vortex front, what can you do? Sans inviting them into your home. What can you do to help them in that situation?
So, you know, the city has done a good job of scaling up for the situation. So, you know, they've opened up a bunch of different city facilities for warming centers. All the Chicago Park District field houses are warming centers. The libraries, police stations are all serving as warming centers. So if you see someone on the street that could use a warming center, if you call 311, they can connect you to and give you the location of the closest warming center to where they are now. If you think that person is unable to get to the warming center and needs someone to come to them, 311 can also bring someone out to do a wellness check. Of course, if it's a real emergency that requires medical attention, there's always 911. But 311 is the quickest way to get connected to what resources close to that individual at that time.
The homeless folks I speak to on the street any time of year all seem to say similar things, that the reason they're out and not in is the shelters are dangerous. Is there basis in fact for that?
Yeah, there is. There's a whole lot of reasons why the shelter system, while important and emergency system that we need, is less than ideal for folks who are experiencing homelessness. There's issues of danger. There's issues if you're a couple. Very few shelters allow couples to be together. Shelters often aren't where your services are that you're utilizing. So there's a whole lot of breakdowns in the system. What folks who are experiencing homelessness need is permanent housing. And so if you talk to someone who's experiencing homelessness like you have, most will say the shelter system doesn't work for them, but if you talk to them about access to permanent housing, the supports that they need, they'll step right up and say, yes, that's what I need to really stabilize my life.
Douglas, following up on Steve's question, do homeless want to go to the shelters? Or if someone who is living on Lower Wacker Drive and here comes the wind chill, maybe they're not paying attention to what the weather forecast is it tough to convince them to go to those shelters, to go and find a warming center or something else during something like this that we're about to see?
For the vast majority, particularly, you know, in a situation like this where the weather's particularly extreme, they're going to want to find some place to be warm tonight, tomorrow night. And, you know, there's always exceptions. There's folks who have, for whatever reason, resistance to doing that. But by and large, folks are going to want to find some way to be safe when things get this dangerous. But, you know, it's a temporary solution to a long-term problem.
What are you going to be doing tonight and tomorrow night?
So, you know, we're making sure that we're available to answer questions. We always get lots of phone calls. We're making sure we're available to talk to news outlets such as yourselves so that we can help spread the word about what folks can do. And the other thing that we're going to do is continue to push on, you know, after this current weather emergency passes, that we take the sense of urgency we have right now about addressing the needs of people who are homeless and make that push to have more permanent solutions so folks aren't on the street to begin with when we hit weather like this.
Appreciate the phone call. I'll let you get back to work at ChicagoHomeless.org.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
All the best.
Thanks, Douglas. There
Douglas
you go.
Schenkelberg. There's your most valuable person on the planet. We'll talk more about the homeless issue in Chicago and the 6,000 people or so on any given night sleep on the street here. Folks who are going around and trying to help those on the street tonight and tomorrow night are literally going to be saving lives. You know, in a lot of cases, it's an effort to change lives, get them into shelters, get them into better situations. People will die on the street tonight and tomorrow night. That's not hyperbole if they're not helped or taken in for at some place it's warm. And Texter points out a lot of libraries are going to be closed tomorrow, places you could duck into to stay warm because they're shutting down a lot of systems.
And we may talk coming up here with the Office of Emergency Management here in Chicago, but the counter is that warming centers will be open, a lot of spaces that usually aren't open to the public because of the cold. So there are other options. And I also wonder, and this is for a conversation for another time, but when the city does come in and make sure that homeless get to warm situations, what happens to all their stuff? You know, if you go down in Lower Wacker, there's beds and blankets that they've collected for the winter, and they're kind of bundled.
That's everything
up.
They have.
You know, I wonder, do they keep it there?
Or I don't
they
know.
Say, you know what, this is a chance
question.
For us to clean house.
It's a good question. Don't know.
Yeah, there's so much stuff down there. You know, sometimes in Columbus, you can't even tell if there's people in there or not.
And you can understand. I get the idea that you want to clean that up, but.
But it's not garbage to them.
The winter's not over.
Yeah, well, it's
their stuff. Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, we don't have a right to throw it out. At 7:32, we're also keeping an eye on the big breaking political news out of the Sun-Times this morning that there may be hidden audio recordings of Mike Madigan playing for business in his office when he should have been not doing that. And it all ties back to Danny Solis, and Danny Solis ties to Ed Burke, and it's a whole ugly chain. Four different writers worked on it for the Sun-Times. We're going to see if we can get somebody on to talk about that shortly as well. All right, Steve, standing by. He'll have your headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Andy Mazur just told us he's leaving town. He's going to leave us behind. He's going to go to Florida.
Well,
How dare you?
Hey, listen, I'm going to write it out on Wednesday with everybody. And, you know, Thursday, I'll probably have enough at that point and going to visit my folks. And they had the nerve of complaining yesterday about the weather in Florida. It was only in the mid-50s, and I started crying for them.
No kidding.
Weeping. Openly.
Your timing is off by a single day.
I know.
Because if you left today,
I'd be
you'd get out of
shape.
It too horrible.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Friday. It's going to be 12.
Someone texts in as well that a lot of the flights have already been preemptively canceled. So if you were planning, and there's a big time for Chicago to get out to Florida, Arizona, New Mexico, things like that, to be in a position where you're ready to get out because it's frigid temperatures and you can't because of the temperature.
Correct.
Hey, Pete, do me a favor in the next few minutes. Find out how far we would have to drive tomorrow to get above zero. Like, you know, is it Amana Colonies, Iowa? How far do we have to drive from Chicago to get to somewhere where it's going to be above zero?
This is
any
our,
direction?
Any direction.
This is our hurricane.
Any direction.
Yeah,
that's right.
Point.
What is our escape
plan? Well, don't go north.
You can't go north.
that gets rid of that one.
We're talking about Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, ChicagoHomeless.org. Quick mention here as well from...
This is Rich Guidis, is the acting executive director of the Office of Emergency Management and Communications for the City of Chicago. As the mayor said yesterday, all hands on deck, and Rich joins us now. Rich, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So this, when the mayor says all hands on deck, what does that mean?
Yeah, that means that everybody is front and center on this subject, and we're not going to rest until the cold weather passes and we can get our temperatures back to what we would call in Chicago a normal cold weather conditions. So it's all hands on deck, like the mayor said.
Rich, you know, if there's a snowstorm coming through, or maybe even rain and other things, there are ways for, you can think about salt trucks, you can think about shelter, things of that nature. When you're dealing with the polar vortex and cold, what are the things that you can prepare for?
Well, you know, this is stuff that the city prepares for. I mean, we had a workshop back in November just talking about these types of conditions that are happening this week. So that's why the city stays well communicated. You know, tomorrow we're opening up our emergency operations center. Sorry, today we're opening up the emergency operations center. I'm losing track of my days here.
It's understandable.
At 1 o'clock, and we're going to make sure that the city's coordinated. We're staying on top of this situation. A couple things I would say, if you must go out in this, if you can work from home, try to work from home. A lot of companies have made accommodations over the years to let people work from home. I recommend that. If you have to go out, if you have to drive, you know, as the news has been reporting, as you've been reporting, make sure you have a full tank of gas. Make sure you have provisions in your car. Make sure people know where you're going. Check on your family. Check on your friends. And make sure your cell phone is fully charged.
These warming centers, any of them going to close down because of the weather, or does the city control that?
No, the city warming centers have extended hours. We've also opened up another shelter at the King Center at 4312 South Cottage Grove, and of course our 10 South Kedzie location as well, if needed. So one best practice that we've been doing, you know, trying to convince some of these people who stay out all night and will not come visit a shelter, we've brought the city to them. We've brought warming buses on site to assist DFSS workers in the field with our homeless vulnerable population.
Get back to work. You don't need to be talking to us. You got a lot to do.
Well, thank you for having us on.
Appreciate you coming on.
Rich Guidis, he's the acting executive director of the Office of Emergency Management and Communications for the City of Chicago.
Steve Rosanich coming up. Tim Novak, he's one of the co-byline writers from the Sun-Times on this wild story that involves Danny Solis, sex, money, and a farm that used to be owned by Oprah Winfrey and may extend to Mike Madigan and therefore, Solis and Ed Burke. The whole hot mess.
Yeah, and you got me interested, too, in this project you've put Pete on. I'm just looking at some forecast maps here, and I'm all the way down. It looks like maybe to Tennessee or Arkansas.
Again, I'm looking for the closest place I can drive that'll be above zero in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a drive.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 7:52, a wild story in the Sun-Times with a considerable amount of quality reporting put together by four different writers, including Tim Novak, who joins us now. We invite you to pick up the paper. How crazy an idea is that? Or go to the website so you can discuss this. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on. The gist of this is that Madigan, there may be a secret recording of Madigan pitching for business, but it all ties back to Danny Solis. It ties back to a farm in Indiana that has sex and money involved. And fill in some of the blanks here for us.
Well, this starts back in 2014 when an unidentified man was wired up and approached Danny Solis about building a hotel in Chinatown. Danny Solis, not knowing he was being recorded, told the man that if he hired Madigan's firm to do the tax work, that Danny would make sure everything went through on the hotel. Danny brings this guy to the speaker's law office. Neither Danny nor the speaker know this guy's wearing a wire. There's a Chinese businessman who's going to build the hotel. Madigan pitches his law firm's business and lowering property taxes for various buildings and developers in the city, and it's all being recorded. A few months later, the feds started recording Danny's cell phone, and then they heard all sorts of things that he was doing. Those calls continued for about 2 years before they confronted him, and they show Danny, a lobbyist plying Danny with Viagra and free massages at a massage club.
With happy endings. By the way, there is a reason that federal investigations take 2 and 3 years before they come to fruition, and that's because they tie up all their loose ends, and they have that 95% conviction rate because of that as well. So even though this started in 2014, I would assume, Tim, the timeline of how long this has taken and why it's coming out now makes sense.
Well, it's a long, wide-ranging investigation that involves a lot of different people. One person is wired to catch another person, and then that person is used to catch another person. So after they wired up Danny, he agreed to cooperate, and then he wore a wire at City Hall, and we know that he caught Burke on a dozen conversations or so, but we don't know who else he caught. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of loose ends. They're not even loose ends. To us, they're loose ends, but there's a large part of this investigation that is still out there.
Tim, it's amazing to me that the 18,000 or so phone calls recorded in Danny Solis, and I can only imagine he's a very powerful alderman who, you know, at his perch at the zoning committee, that a lot of aldermen and officials would have been having phone conversations with Danny Solis at that time. Is the mood and the tenor at City Hall one of fear at this point?
I think there's a lot of nervous people at City Hall. There's about 20,000 calls recorded with Danny that he didn't know about, and then another 20,000 or so with Burke. So you've got a lot of phone calls that have been recorded out there, or at least listened to. There's a lot of people at City Hall who I think don't know who to trust anymore, don't know what they may have said or to whom they said it or when they said it.
Yeah, I mean, you go back 4 years amongst the aldermen and the various conversations they've had or didn't have. Try to remember your own phone calls for the last 4 years. And if you've been involved in something that's illegal or might be illegal, I mean, that's got to be an awful lot of nervous people.
Well, I think part of it also is that some of these people may be involved in things that are illegal, but they don't either believe they're illegal, think they're illegal, or...
Right.
The Chicago. Or know right. for sure. Right. All right, so explain to the rest of us the understanding from those you speak to about why Mike Madigan pitching for business could be a crime.
Well, it depends if there's any what is known as a quid pro quo, where the speaker would offer some sort of official favors in exchange for the business that he's seeking. The favors that are being offered here, if there are favors being offered here, it's Solis is telling the developer that if the developer hires the speaker's law firm, that everything will go through. But we're not really sure exactly who will make sure everything goes through. Is it Danny as the zoning committee chairman at City Hall? He's the alderman of the ward that covers Chinatown, where this hotel would be built. The hotel was never built, and it's still a vacant lot, so...
And there's a difference between reporting and speculation. You do the reporting, you get your sources, you talk to everybody. It's easy for us to speculate here, but there's a basic logical question. I'd be curious if any of the folks you talked to have addressed it, and that is my assumption that Ed Burke and Mike Madigan are too smart to be this stupid. Is anybody talking about that?
Well, nobody's talking about that with Speaker Madigan at this point, because all we have at this point is one phone call, recorded conversations between the speaker and a developer and his associate with Solis. There's no other additional calls that we're aware of at this point that there are other people recorded. Now, Burke, there's a whole different matter there. Yeah. Burke was arrested based on a call that the FBI intercepted on the way he was trying to obtain this business from a fast food owner.
Tim, you know, when you think about Chicago politics and you know, you go way back to Silver Shovel in the 90s, and since that time there have been select aldermen that have been indicted for corruption. But when you start to see this kind of thing come out with Alderman Solis and, of course, the arrest of Alderman Burke, are we at the beginning of what might be another Silver Shovel?
It's really hard to say where this will go, but right now the targets in this case are some of the most powerful people in the state of Illinois. We've not really seen anything like this before, where there's so many different people involved, and this could become so wide-ranging. It's possible it could be the biggest thing. It's possible it might not be.
John Seidel, Fran Spielman, Mark Brown, and Tim Novak together on the writing on this, and the headline blares from Chicago.SunTimes.com, Viagra sex acts, use of a luxury farm, feds detail investigation of Alderman Solis. Tim, as you know, there is such a thing, and this isn't the term for it, but I'll call it this, favor laundering, where Danny Solis is indebted to Ed Burke and or Mike Madigan, and he's the guy that tries to strike the deal with a Chinese businessman, and they meet with Mike Madigan, and Madigan presumably never talks about quid pro quo because that's taken care of on the Solis end, even though they all might be involved. Is that a possibility?
Sure, I don't know whether it is or not, but anything is possible at this point.
And that would be more of a conspiracy thing as opposed to some of the other crimes that seem to jump off the page here.
That, if that's true, yes.
Right, and I don't mean to put you in a position of speculating, but in regards to folks who talk to you about this stuff, I assume you're hearing from your best sources and folks who have a lot to say about this. So this story that's blown up and is all over Chicago.sometimes.com and in Sun-Times this morning, I have a feeling this won't be the last you say of it.
I don't think so.
Listen, short notice, I appreciate you coming on and talking.
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's an interesting, and to put that together, to get that the sources, to get the transcripts of Alderman Solis's conversations, that's some good reporting by the Chicago Sun-Times.
And it feels like there is definitely going to be more. It feels like this is the beginning of something.
Well,
right?
We said it right after Ed Burke. We said, we've talked about it for 2 weeks. Well, what's the other, is there a bigger fish? Is the other foot, you know, shoe going to drop? It may not be just about the powerful people, Madigan and Burke, but it may be a big, wide-ranging net of a lot of public officials who were on those calls.
And the way you tell you're talking to a good reporter is when you wildly speculate and it makes them uncomfortable. Wrong department. I don't do that. Sun-Times has it today. Good job by them. All right, 8:01, and Steve is here right now. But he can't talk yet because he's in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom still preparing. And we will come back with that news in just a second on 720 WGN.
WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast. Here's meteorologist Tim McGill.
Tonight, flurries early, then partly cloudy. Bitter cold, down to around 25 or 26 in the outlying areas, 21 below in the loop.
Wait, here comes the money.
And a wind chill of about 40 to 50 degrees below zero, it looks like, by tomorrow morning or worse. That would break a record, that 25 below for the date for tomorrow. The record cold high of 13 below, that's probably going to, well, actually, the old record cold high is 11 below. We're going to probably break that tomorrow with a record cold high of 13 below. Partly to mostly sunny, breezy, bitter cold tomorrow. Wind chills throughout the day, 30 to 50 below. Thursday, partly to mostly sunny, bitter cold. You'll wake up to lows again, down around 20 to 25 below. And
so Thursday's no better?
Thursday's no better in the morning. It gets up to 2 later in the day.
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, when will it hit 2?
Gosh, not until probably late in the afternoon.
So like 3 o'clock?
Maybe a little bit later.
How about
that.
2 at 2 o'clock? That'd be some symbiosis there.
That would be nice. 2 at 2? Sounds like a radio thing.
All right, now before you go away.
Sure.
And you will. It's important for people to understand that this is not weather hyperbole. This is not, it's a shocking story coming up. There is no question we're going to be under the gun in the next 2 days, and people should take this dreadfully seriously.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of weather where, and I'm not trying to be funny, but you could go out to the mailbox, trip, and fall. And if you can't get up and get back into the house, you could freeze to death.
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to be really brutal. This is a store cold. We haven't seen anything like this in a long time. Maybe since we've been keeping records back in the late 1880s. So, yeah, this is really nasty stuff. You don't want to be outside for any prolonged period of time at all, especially beginning later this afternoon all the way through Thursday afternoon. We're looking at about, I think it's 60 hours we're going to be below zero.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just nasty. So wind chills again Thursday, 35 to 45 below. Now the good news, a little bit of snow early Friday. That's not the good news. Mostly cloudy, a high around 20. 37 on Saturday, partly to mostly cloudy. We could be near 50 by Monday. So if you take into account the wind chill tomorrow morning, it's going to feel like 50 below. We're going to get up near 50. It's going to feel 100 degrees warmer by Monday.
That is just insanity.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Tim, are we at the point where you could actually throw water into the air and it would freeze?
It'll be that way. Tomorrow morning would be a good morning to do that.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that on the show tomorrow.
All right, I'll meet you downtown at the lakefront.
Excellent.
I'll bring the water.
Wear a sweater.
Okay. I'm Tim McGill from the WGN Weather Center.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night show. Yeah.
Come on, dude.
matter with you?
I crawled into my freezer to stay warm. My freezer's warmer than it is everywhere else. I'm inside my freezer.
That's you right next to the frozen peas.
Yeah. Those aren't peas.
What? What?
I got vetoed. You're talking about going outside to see the water freezing when you throw it up in the air. And by the way, if you do it with hot water, it turns to vapor.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Cool.
So I wanted to go outside on the morning TV show today and tomorrow to do fun things outside. And we got an edict from management saying that we should not do things outside.
This came from Paul Rennie, your general manager and our general manager here.
Came from
Jen Lyons, the news boss.
Jen Lyons, our news director.
What is she trying to keep you people alive? Well, I mean, what's more important, great TV or your health?
I think there's something rather entertaining about watching somebody who is minutes away from getting frost by doing wacky things outside.
It may be a little bit of don't try this at home-itis, where people go, it's not so cold. Dean's out there.
Yeah, Dean's outside.
Oh.
Come on, kids, let's go outside.
No, but they know you're a moron. They're not going to do it.
Well, anyway, I got the notes saying I have to stay inside.
Well, this is more on entertainment.
I can't play outside.
Here's a tweet from Tom Skilling. This is a massive blob of cold air 1,000 miles across. We are going to be the coldest place on the planet.
Right on. We're number one. We're number one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How many times can you say that?
No. No, I mean, that's what you were talking about this the other day. If we're going to get to 50 below, let's get to 75 below. Let's really lock in a record.
What's the difference, you know, at that point?
I'm hunkering down with some cold weather food. I went to the store yesterday because, you know, before any kind of bad weather, you have to go to the store and get bread and milk. Mm-hmm. That's just the Chicago tradition. Mm-hmm. But I went and got other groceries as well, and I made pot roast yesterday. It's a nice pot roast with potatoes and carrots. And
smart.
What time are we coming over?
Celery. I made some macaroni and cheese because this is the other thing I was going to do outside that now I'm not allowed to go outside to do on TV. Mm-hmm. I was going to do a cooking demo of things that you could. I was going to get.
Oh, making grills. Pot roast at 50 below? That'd be cool.
I wasn't going to make the pot roast, but I was going to make this macaroni. It's pizza macaroni and cheese. Or it's macaroni and cheese with like tomato sauce, pizza sauce, and pepperoni on it. It's
it sounds healthy.
Delicious.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Your arteries start to harden, and you stay nice and toasty warm just before you have a heart attack.
The blood is all centralized.
Most comfortable you've ever been in your life.
Do grills work outside at this point? Because there are going to be some people that, you know, some people just cook outside no matter what. Yeah. Somebody will be grilling tomorrow.
That's what I'm told by our...
Well, that's interesting. Does the gas work when it's that cold?
Work? Yeah,
our stage hands tell us that it will not work.
Oh.
So it won't even light. So
one more reason I have to stay inside.
That's why I only cook with logs. Put another log on the fire.
That's what I said. Let's use charcoal. Let's do this. We don't have to use propane. Let's do it old school.
I think it'd be smart that you use everything. You do everything you possibly can tomorrow to see what doesn't work. Right? Just because we need to document this for future generations. Right.
And besides, Dean, look, you know, you, me, you can come to any of us and go, well, you guys have had a good run. If we lose you, we've got younger.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Right. What are we talking about in show business when we come back?
We're going to talk about Taraji P. Henson. Got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday, but I talked with her about it when I was in L.A. this past weekend, so we have a little of that. Also, I talked with Erica Badu, who... you know, got booed when she was playing the Aragon last week. So she and I talk a little bit about that.
I've got an Erykah Badu head wrap on this week just to stay warm.
You should see the head wrap that she has had on. Mm-hmm. It's like a headband with these gigantic metal circular things that were attached to the headband.
Something's got
to
keep it in place.
It was very distracting.
I just use curtains. I take a giant curtain and just wrap it around my head.
Very similar to that, but you know, you're trying to have a conversation with somebody and they have round metal objects attached to the side of their face. It's a little distracting.
It's got to be heavy.
On the good side, she got HBO on it. So, you know, that was good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can get HBO on this. get cable TV.
That's very handy.
On those things.
That's very handy. Yes. I'm going to climb back in the freezer.
We'll be right back with more dude. In just a second, but first, let's do this.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. This is Moron Entertainment. Hosted by
man, pro and steady.
A couple of morons. All right, so why don't we go in reverse order? The Erykah Badu story?
Yeah, well, last week Erykah Badu played the Aragon on Lawrence Avenue in Uptown. And, you know, she's singing along and then all of a sudden stops and starts talking about R. Kelly. Because the docuseries had just come out and, you know, the crowd wanted to hear her sing, not... talk and philosophize about R. Kelly, but a lot of people took her comments as being supportive of R. Kelly when she was saying that she was putting a prayer up for him when she feels like, you know, there should be unconditional love. She didn't say that she supports him, but these days, if you say anything except I condemn R. Kelly, you yourself are going to be condemned, which she has been pretty much for the last couple of weeks. So when I sat down and talked with her this past weekend in L.A., we chatted about it. Were you surprised at the reaction to all of that?
No, I'm never surprised. In this day and time of, you know, social media, there's a group called the Offendocracy who is just ready to jump out the bushes and, you know, point fingers at us. And I'm a great target for that. I don't know why they like me so much and listen to everything I say, and everything I say is very valuable to the community in some kind of way. But I'm often, you know, misunderstood or taken out of context, yeah, or misquoted. So I'm used to it.
Do you think you were misquoted or taken out of context with
Of course.
With all of that?
Yeah. If I was accused of anything other than spreading a message of universal love, yeah, definitely.
Well, look, it's what you said, Dean. And the internet gets up every morning and waits to be outraged. People wait to be outraged about whatever they want to be outraged about. But there's outrage involved with R. Kelly. And as an artist, you need to expect a little heat if you say something in the wrong area.
Yeah, well, and, you know, especially with this in particular, if, you know, somebody says something that's anything but condemns R. Kelly, you know, the wrath is going to come down on you. Really, what she said was that you know, we should try to be a Christian about you know, forgiving people who make mistakes in their lives,
right?
But, you know, some people found that an offensive comment.
Well, look at what happened to Tom Brokaw. He's on Meet the Press Sunday. In a larger comment, he clumsily said Hispanics need to work harder at assimilation, and added, we all need to work harder at assimilation. It blew up into Tom Brokaw's a racist. I mean, a guy that you couldn't pin racism on Tom Brokaw. You just can't. But that's what the internet does. The internet gets up and goes, "What can I be mad about today?" It's frustrating.
That's true.
All right, you got anything good to tell me?
Taraji P. Henson got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame because one day every man, woman, and child on Earth will have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yep.
If you've got the money to pay for the star.
How much do they cost? Are they $2,000 still?
No, I heard $15,000 down.
15?
Yeah,
but
15.
She deserves it.
I remember when they were $2,000.
She's Cookie.
Cookie from Empire.
Yeah.
She was in Hidden Figures.
You're $15,000, but then don't you have to pay like a association fee where somebody comes and cleans it up every month?
Like a condo thing?
Isn't that what it is?
An HOA for stars.
Yeah. Very, but it's possible. She's done a lot. She's, you know, been on so many great TV shows and movies. She's got a new movie coming out next week called What Men Want, and she got the star, and she got it yesterday. And but also this past weekend, Erykah Badu is in this movie, What Men Want, with Taraji P. Henson. So when I sat down with Taraji, we talked about getting this great honor.
Congratulations on the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
I am really excited, but I still kind of, I think it's going to dawn on me at this ceremony when I look at my 94-year-old grandmother witness this. You know, I'm pretty sure she never thought she would live to see anything like this.
Yeah. Are we bad Chicagoans that it's like 4 degrees at home right now?
And we're in L.A.
And we're out here and it's like 75 degrees outside.
I don't feel bad at all. I'm happy. I feel sorry for you, Chicago. Stay warm.
If I got stuck out here for
that. So I come home back to the 4 degree weather and all the snow. She's laying out on Hollywood Boulevard with the star with her name on it.
Yeah, that's not right.
It's not right.
I mean, if you're going to sell out like you just sold out in that clip, you need to stay out there. What else?
We have the movie Black Panther, you know, that won Best Cast Ensemble at the SAG Awards.
Heard that.
Over the weekend. They're bringing it back onto big screen, which is not unusual for Oscar-nominated movies. But what is unusual is that Marvel, Disney Company, is going to be showing it for free on many big screens around the country. It's going to be at a couple of theaters in Chicago and many out in the suburbs. They're also making a $1.5 million donation to the United Negro College Fund, all of this for Black History Month. And if you go to weticketit.com/Black Panther, you can find a theater, an AMC theater near you that will be showing it Black Panther for free.
I got one for you. You want one for me?
I would love one.
John Malkovich is returning to the stage in London, playing a powerful Hollywood producer accused of sexual misconduct.
Mm-mm.
How about that?
Mm-mm.
Little West End Weinstein is what you got going on right there.
Little Spacey action, maybe.
A little bit of that, too. So that's my contribution to the Moron Entertainment.
Have you ever talked to John Malkovich?
Oh, yeah, many times. He scares me.
I've talked to him many times, and I refuse to look him in the eye. I feel like he's going to steal my soul if I look directly.
Yeah. 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 So I was, and yet he did a movie with Bruce Willis that had a sequel, and I couldn't tell you the title of it for the life of me, where he plays like a comedic character, and he nailed it. It was funny.
Oh, he's great. He could do a lot of different things. That's Steppenwolf training.
But crazy is best.
Yeah.
I mean, he was born to play crazy. Whew.
Nobody does it better. Also, remember several months ago we told you about this Hamilton, the exhibition that's going to be opening in Northerly Ireland.
Yeah.
Like a temporary thing.
Yep.
And you go in there and there's going to be Lin-Manuel Miranda on an audio, giving you an audio tour of actual artifacts of Alexander Hamilton. It's going to be opening in April at Northerly Ireland. But tickets are going to go on sale a week from Friday. So if you're interested in that, Ticketmaster or HamiltonTheExhibition.com.
The movie is called Red. Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, and Helen Mirren in Red 2.
Hey, Stephen, this just in. I found the email that I typed up and then forgot to send to you. The things I want to talk about.
To get kind of the sense of the rhythm there.
Yeah,
what's next, Dean? What's now? How about now?
The window. I closed the I was working on it and then got distracted. I closed it and then I'm looking here. It's like, oh, I forgot to send this to Steve.
Can I make a suggestion? Can you take one of our moron minions and have him send it to me like, you know, an hour early and then you could just go back to sleep?
No, I just sent it to you right now.
So excellent.
If you want to repeat this segment again in the next 20 minutes, now you'll have the outline in front of you.
Well, none of this was on the air. This is all a rehearsal.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, no, I mean, we wouldn't put this on the air. All right, and for your entertainment value, Dean, I send you away with this. Go to the Sun-Times this morning and read about Alderman Danny Solis, Ed Burke, Mike Madigan, Oprah Winfrey's former farm, sex, money, and happy endings.
Right.
Wow.
And then we're going to go to Hollywood, and we're going to pitch our new movie, City Council.
Alder man, alder woman.
I will do all that from inside the building because I'm not allowed to be outside
at
all today.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to save the A-team. So send Thomas Sewell out.
He's promoting his new season for his new show.
Oh, good for him.
Isn't he going to be on with you tomorrow?
I doubt it. I'll talk to you later.
I'll see you.
Okay, let's come back to the headlines right after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 8:47 now, and Jerry Joyce is here, wants to be your next mayor of Chicago. You can go to the website, jerryjoyce2019.com, as we continue on the Steve Cochran Show. Welcome, Mr. Joyce. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Steve.
Thanks for coming in. By the way, as I look over the website, I can't help but notice that you got a pretty good life going. You know, you're an attorney, small business owner, your wife's a doctor. Why do you want to be mayor? What's wrong with you?
Got a great life going. Very blessed.
wonderful family.
Why would you want this hassle? Why wouldn't you just want to keep getting up every morning and being Jerry Joyce?
Oh, I'm still doing that, but because of my love for the city, because my wife and I are raising our family here, I'm a lifelong Chicagoan.
Right.
Fed up with what's been going on in the city for particularly the past 8 years. Did not enter this race lightly. Entered it way back when Rahm Emanuel was still a candidate.
Now, you've done a lot in your life, but the question is going to be, where's the political experience? Where's the elected office? What's your answer?
Answer is, look where the elective office has gotten us to this point. I think we need a fresh face in there, fresh ideas, a commitment, some energy, try things differently.
Right. Okay.
Mr. Joyce, today, big news all over Chicago about wiretaps, Danny Solis.
Are you wearing a wire right now?
Well, the question I have for you is, first, your response to this story that was in the Sun-Times this morning. I mean, this is we're in the middle of a campaign, a mayoral campaign. A lot has to do with what's happening in Chicago and city council. What's your response to the bombshell that was in the Sun-Times this morning?
Very disappointed. Not unexpected. This story came out a couple weeks ago. I'm sure more is going to be coming out. Because it would almost be funny if it wasn't so sad. This is our government. I think that this calls for this race to reform that's been going out there. I'm all for those things, you know, term limits, city council, rotation of committees. I also believe that all contacts with zoning aldermen, zoning staffers should be documented. Just log the contacts. What we need here is more transparency across the board.
So people know what they're paying for.
Exactly.
You come from the 19th Ward. You're alderman there, and supporter Matt O'Shea had some choice words after the Ed Burke arrest. Essentially, when Danny Solis was found out he was wearing a wire, he said if that happened in the 19th, he'd get your ass kicked. That's a direct quote. For you, how do you approach the code of silence and the idea that you don't snitch necessarily on your fellow council members?
Yeah, Matt's a great guy, and I think he just made an off-the-cuff comment that he regrets. He's said as much publicly.
So you don't advocate ass-kicking for people who are trying to be transparent?
Yeah, right. No, absolutely not. That's what we need in our government. That's
the transparency part. Yeah. Right, not the first part.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. As this campaign goes on, it gets tougher and uglier and all of that, and one of the things you got to have is money. How's the fundraising?
Fundraising's sufficient. Well, we have enough money. We're on TV with commercials, but the heart of our campaign has been grassroots from day one. We've been out throughout the city, every area.
Door to door, baby.
Door to door, even when it's zero.
You may not have held elected office, but your family has been a long part of Chicago politics. Your father was worked for Mayor Daley and has been a long time operative in Chicago. How do you run a are you running a campaign to say, you know, let's go back to those days where there was a different kind of Chicago? Or are you running as an outsider saying, you know what, I'm going to bring change and reform to City Hall?
My father hasn't held elective office in 26 years, I think. He lives in Florida. Was against me getting into politics.
He was?
Yes, absolutely. So, I'm running as a father, husband from the neighborhood, cares about what's going on in our city, as do so many of his neighbors, that be my neighbors, dissatisfied, many cases outraged with what's been happening, and want to do something about it.
Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come back. More Jerry Joyce in a second. JerryJoyce2019.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right. We're tight on time here, but I want to get into a couple issues. JerryJoyce2019.com in the last couple of minutes we have here. Justin, you start.
Let's talk about public safety. Crime is a big issue in the city of Chicago. Violence has seen a spike in the last couple of years, although it's on the downturn now. And a lot has to do with the reform of a police department, a consent decree from the federal government. There's still a question of whether or not the city's going to go with it. Where do you stand on the consent decree and police reform in Chicago?
A lot of good things in the consent decree. So, and the next mayor is going to have to operate on the consent decree. I think that's going to be in place.
Yeah.
So my goal would be to get out from under it as quickly as possible.
So work with it, but move on from it?
Absolutely. It should be the goal of any mayor, actually. Yeah, right. It's oversight of what you're supposed to be in charge of. So it's admitting it's a failure of leadership. So now
we've seen a relationship between the police and some minority communities in Chicago have fractured after everything that's happened in the last couple of years here in Chicago. As a mayor, how do you address that issue?
Well, once again, it's going to take leadership. Specifically, we have a plan that will involve bringing police officers closer to the communities and people that they are serving and protecting. Specifically, we have a neighborhood immersion police beat program, which would be a pilot project at first, but what it does is creates teams of beat officers, one sergeant, 10 beat officers, same beat for an extended period of time. So it allows for continuity, allows for building relationships and goal setting within that team, but it also allows for relationship building within the among the people that they are serving.
Builds trust.
Ultimately, it does build trust, which then will lead to cooperation, confidence, clearance rates going way up.
Sure.
So I think
which would be a nice change because we don't have that. Gambling. We need revenue in this town. Gambling and poker machines and things of that nature. And I'm sorry to say this, but I got less than a minute for you.
We do need revenue. That's the and gambling, casino gambling is coming to Chicago, should come to Chicago. But the estimates are way under. Chicago should get 100% of the revenue, not shared with the state, not shared with a private owner, 100%. So those numbers will go way up. 100% of that revenue should be dedicated to the unfunded pension liability.
So you need state cooperation and federal cooperation.
Absolutely.
Ultimately. Okay.
Are there any other ways that you would find revenue to be able to deal with a pension cliff that's coming up in 2020?
Now you have 15 seconds. I'll make it quick.
Inventory all city assets. Find which ones that are in a path of growth that have appreciated over the years. See if we can take the city uses, move them elsewhere, see what we monetize those assets, sell them off, put those money into unfunded pension liabilities.
And the website one more time is?
JerryJoyce2019.com.
Thank you very much. I know it's cold out there, man. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Thank you, Mr. Joyce. Appreciate
Northwestern
it.
Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, I like this, Joe. Let's freshen those bumps up, man. That's good. That's good. Listen to this.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play.
And Adam Hogue is standing by in Atlanta. Hey, Adam, somebody broke the river.
They did.
Yeah, if you look out the window here on the 18th floor and you look down, it looks like somebody broke the river. All the ice is split up into these artistic little geometrical shapes.
Little pancakes.
It looks pretty cool from inside the studio, I'm sure.
I'll tweet it out so you can see it because you're in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. All right, so on Media Row, well, that's a whole different vibe. For people that don't get a chance to ever do that, we can talk about that. But first, how was Media Night?
It was weird like it usually is. I mean, there's clowns walking around. There's children asking questions. It's not the the most professional media environment. But there's some good storyline. I'm always trying to dig for the Bears stuff, you know, and there weren't as many angles this year. But I talked to both kickers in this Super Bowl on Sunday about Cody Parkey and some things like that. So
Corky Parkey.
Yeah. Is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah, he's Corky. Corky the kicker.
What did they say? What are they for Cody Parkey? Do they back their brethren?
Well, okay, so I'll tell you what Steven Gostkowski, who's a Patriots kicker and has been a very good kicker for the Patriots over a decade now. He said he felt bad for Cody, as a human being, but as a fellow kicker, he acknowledged that professionally, it's our job to make kicks. And if you don't make the kicks, then, you don't keep your job. And then I asked him about the Today Show appearance, and that's when he got a little bit squirmy. said he didn't see it and said he didn't want to kick a fellow player while he's down.
Why not? He's a kicker.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a pun intended there or not. Greg Zuerlein for the Rams, who, of course, made that great field goal. He made two in that game against the Saints to get the Rams here.
Two clutch kicks, Corky.
Yeah. Well, I think what we learned is just, it's not a secret. The Bears, more than anything this offseason, have to fix that position because you have two teams here in Atlanta playing this weekend with good kickers. Not just good kickers, but great kickers. And they're just so important. They're just so important.
Hey, Adam, you had the ability to watch both the Rams and the Patriots play the Bears, break down the tape, get a better understanding of who they are and what kind of game they play. What did you glean from that experience of being able to see both of the Bears' opponents during the regular season and how they might approach the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it certainly helps. I mean, I find it interesting, especially on the Rams side of things, because the Bears dominated that football game. Really from start to finish, and kind of showed the blueprint for how you can slow down the Rams' offense. Now, at the same time, one of the most interesting conversations I had last night was with Zach Taylor, who's the Rams' quarterback's coach, and is somebody people should know because he's taking the Cincinnati Bengals' head coaching job after this weekend. So he's going to be the Bengals' head coach. And he told me that game at Soldier Field in early December really helped them get here. I think all of us reacted to that night, and it was a great night, and it was cold, and the Bears played so well, and Soldier Field was electric, and I think we all treated it like, hey, the Bears are arrived, they got a chance to make the Super Bowl here. Well, for the Rams side of things, they were humiliated a little bit, but it taught them not only what their weaknesses were and how they had to counter them, but how to play in a tough environment like that in tough conditions. And there's no doubt in my mind that that helped them when they were down 13-0 in New Orleans last week in a tough situation where it looked like they couldn't handle the crowd noise. They learned from it and did it. So, but in terms of schematically, you know, Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, and I'm sure they are studying that tape very closely to see what the Bears did and how they can slow down the Rams on Sunday.
Hey, Adam, kind of away from the game, I know tomorrow is the Roger Goodell State of the NFL address, and I know there's a lot of questions of whether he'll answer questions or even...
Does he talk? I thought he was a mime.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to mention anything about that New Orleans Rams situation there. I mean, it's obviously still very top of mind for those, especially in New Orleans, about the no call. Do you think he's going to address it, and if so, is this going to lead to any rule changes?
Well, he's going to have to address it because it's going to be asked, and I'll be surprised if it's not the first question, and there will be multiple questions on it, because it's been a bad look for the NFL to not even publicly address what is probably the worst call they've ever endured, at least in terms of the consequences.
Well, yeah, most consequential such, call,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's probably the better way to put it, they haven't said anything, and I know it's angered the players. I mean, Benjamin Watson put out a statement the other day basically just blasting the commissioner for being silent on the issue. And then in terms of potential rule changes, the league can't ignore this. I think they're hoping publicly it goes away. It's obviously not going to, at least through the Super Bowl on Sunday. But they're going to get in their meetings in the offseason, and there's multiple meetings, and it usually leads up to the March owners meetings where they pass rule changes, and sometimes it goes all the way to May, but they're going to talk about making pass interference reviewable, at least by coaches' challenge. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it's definitely something they have to discuss and look closer at.
And why couldn't it be for the playoffs? Because, sure, regular season games matter, and maybe somebody doesn't make the playoffs eventually. But when you lose the Super Bowl on a bad call, I know it slows down the game. I know there's a million considerations. You can't make everything something you could toss a flag on and go back and take a look at. But something so blatant as that, I don't know why it couldn't work for the playoffs.
Well, I think coaches would prefer to have it the same the whole year round. Just
who
so they
cares what the coaches think? We're fans.
I know, but they do get an input on this stuff.
What?
I think pass interference could be reviewable by coaches' challenge. To me, it would be very similar than challenging a spot. Very, very rarely do you see a spot changed. Most of the times, if there's anything close, the coaches don't even bother challenging it because it's not worth it. But there are some times where there are egregious missed spots by like a yard or two, and those are the ones that are worth challenging and will change. I think that can be the same application for pass interference.
You know, I worry. I don't want to get too deep though in the weeds here, but there was a call in the Kansas City game that was consequential as well. And if the rule, Adam Hoag, is the instant replay has to be absolutely clear that the call on the field was wrong.
Right.
That bounced, muffed punt which looked from a lot of angles like it maybe just missed his hand. There was no way to prove that it missed his hand, other than the fact that he threw a little hissy. That wasn't just clear and demonstrable evidence that that was. So, point being, the analysis sometimes lacks in coming up with the right call as well.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because I tweeted that out during the game because it was an emphasis this year from Al Riveron, the head of officiating, that they were going to spend more time this year focusing on the idea of not overturning calls via replay unless it was 100% obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I think they executed that this season. But then you have a major moment in one of your championship games where I 100% agree with you. It was not indisputable. I think the ball didn't touch his hand, but there was no way to prove it, mm-hmm. and they moved the goalposts in a big moment, in a big game, and all of a sudden overturned a call. And now it ended up not mattering because they turned the ball over a couple plays later, but that bothered me. That bothered me that all of a sudden in one of the biggest games of the season, they changed something that they had been doing all season.
The only problem, Adam, and it's a slippery slope because I've gone down the rabbit hole like many have. As people have pointed out on that particular play in the Rams-Saints game, that if you were able to do a challenge flag on a call that was not there, what about the obvious hold that the Saints left guard had on Aaron Donald in that play? What about, do you have to go through every single engagement on the field at the time to make sure there wasn't a penalty?
Well, that's what I worry about is, while I think pass interference can be challengeable, for the coaches, just how far is this going to go? Next year, are we going to be talking about all these roughing the passer calls? There's holding on every single play. There was a controversial roughing the passer call in that Chiefs-Patriots game as well, because Tom Brady got hit on the shoulder, and they called roughing the passer, and it was an awful call. So is that going to be reviewable in the future? It's just, how far are we going to take this thing? And I think the NFL can survive the pace of play issues that we see in baseball and college basketball more than any other sport because it's the NFL. But are we ever going to reach a point where it's too much? And it's possible that eventually happens down the road.
I have a fix, Adam, and I've told you this before. Robots. I think that all the players, we should get human beings out of the game of football and just have robots play the game. Then we don't have flags and things.
What about robot players and drone referees?
Yeah, perfect.
Even better.
Well, I was actually trying to find this out last night. I think Tom Brady might actually be a robot.
Uh-huh.
Bill Belichick, too, actually.
Does he really bleed?
That means Anna DeVlantis has a robot fetish. True story.
Hey, she does.
It kind of getting away from the replay situation. Has there been talk around Radio Row or even around people you've been near about the overtime rule, especially with the fact that the Chiefs with the most potent offense in the league never got to touch the ball in the overtime session against the Patriots?
That hasn't come up yet, but I do have strong feelings on this because people don't think about this. But let me ask you, why do we have a coin toss?
It's not needed.
Yeah.
What's the point of it?
One possession apiece and then sudden death after that.
But I why don't you make part of home field advantage? The home team gets to choose at the start of the game and in overtime whether they want the ball or not. Baseball has built-in advantages for home teams. Mm-hmm. Hockey has it, multiple advantages for home teams.
We used to have a jump ball in basketball. There's things you change, and this is one thing that should be changed.
It shouldn't come down to a coin. And I get the argument, the Chiefs should have stopped them, and the Patriots should get credit for the fact that they put the Chiefs' defense on the field for 94 plays. I agree with that side of it, but it still shouldn't come down to a coin. The league MVP didn't touch the ball in overtime, and he at least should have gotten a possession. So either both teams should get a possession guaranteed, or let's just get rid of a coin. It's so stupid. I don't understand why we're deciding major decisions off of a coin.
That's why I make Adam Hogue the commissioner of the National Football League immediately.
And I would love that $40 million per year salary.
He's much more well-spoken than Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell doesn't talk. How do you know if he's well-spoken?
Okay, good call.
All right, Adam Hogue, let's talk about the expense account you're running up this week in Atlanta off of Radio Row. Is any of it legitimate?
Maybe 50%.
Right, well, that seems like a good number. That's positive. You're going to be on other shows all day long, all week long, and we'll talk to you before the week is up.
Yeah, 1 to 2 o'clock today on WGNRadio.com. We'll have a live Sports Central show and plenty of good guests coming up today, including Ryan Leaf, who you may remember was drafted ahead of Peyton Manning controversially.
What's he doing now?
He's doing some media stuff with the Chargers and mainly has become kind of a motivational speaker because everything he's been through. I mean, he's been to jail. He's had drug problems. So we'll get into some of that with him later on.
Is his speech called Don't Do Me? Don't Do What I Did Ever?
Partially, yeah. No, I think he talks to a lot of athletes about basically that, how not to screw up.
Yeah. He had quite a life ahead of him and said goodbye to that. All right. Thank you, Adam Hogue.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
See you later.
See ya.
Good. Try it. Try to say just Adam. You can't do it. It's Adam Hogue.
Of course. It's Adam Hogue.
Adam.
Can't do it. It's Adam
two Hogue. Names. It's got to be two
Adam
names.
It's got to be one.
There's only one other person I know that's like that. Annabelle Laval.
Annabelle Laval.
Annabelle Laval and Adam Hogue. Do you know if
good
Adam Hogue? If Adam Hogue married Annabelle Laval, his name would be Adam Annabelle Laval Hogue. What?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Never had a chance to tell you guys this, but when I was a kid, I used to take the bus.
Yeah.
And after school, I'd get off the bus at my grandmother's house. And, well, this would be playing. She's a big James Brown fan.
Nice.
And there was a note on the door, Andy. I don't know if I've ever told you this.
What did that note say?
The note said, if the house is rocking, don't come knocking. Go to the neighbor's house.
Huh.
Makes sense. And I come back, and if James was done, then I could come in. I'm sure the whole thing was just a coincidence.
Had to be.
All right, let's sit back for a second. Listen. I'm going to write him like this in a minute. Papa Don't Make No Mess. This is from an album called White People Like It, But They're Not Sure Why.
Did you ever go to Grandma's when it was minus 50?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Even still, if the note was on the door, I had to go to the neighbor's house.
Go play.
It's 9:29. Andy Mazur is one of the great photographers in the city of Chicago, and that's a worthy high praise. And I never want to miss an opportunity to plug the fact that people can see your photography where?
They can see it at andymazurphoto.com. They can look and they can buy if they want to. And again, it's a lot of city stuff. And there's some other nice little features on the website. So,
how do you know something is worthy of going up?
You know, I test a lot of stuff on Instagram, to be honest with you. And if things go on Instagram and people are really liking it a lot, I put it on the site.
And what is the one shot that got away? Something that you saw visually, you go, this is fantastic, but it just didn't translate.
There's a lot of shots that get away. You know, it's especially in this digital age now when you can just take and just erase.
Sure.
There was one I was standing underneath the bridge over there at Lakeshore Drive, right in vision of our studios, and shooting. This was last year when the ice was kind of forming in there, and I had the wrong setting on a camera, and it just didn't work out.
Some great photography here, and a lot of it looks like paintings. It's really minimal filtering, though, right?
Yeah, minimal filtering. A little Photoshop here and there, just to kind of clean up some of the colors, just to make them a little more vivid.
It's very impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's a lot of fun.
When did you get the bug?
Actually, young. My dad used to take film pictures and develop them in our basement, black and white. We had a little darkroom in the basement, and we used to go out and shoot together, and you just kind of develop the eye for it, and I bought myself a really good camera back in like 2008, and the rest is history.
For people that are interested in becoming a better photographer, can you shoot great stuff on a phone now, or do you need the expensive stuff?
You can shoot really well on the new iPhone. I have that, and you can buy some lens attachments to that. There's a couple of companies out there that sell really good ones. You'll have to spend about $100 to get the case and also the lenses, but they have the fisheye lens and some micro macro lenses, zoom lenses, and things of that nature that make them that make photography pretty easy with your iPhone.
And the broken Chicago River is featured in your photos.
Yes, today the broken river.
I just took a picture of that.
Love
it. Cool. It's not good though. Sorry, Andy.
It's okay. The picture or the river?
My picture. Oh. Oh, the river looks really cool. The
river's awesome, yeah.
The river is having a reunion right now. The chunks of ice are refreezing together.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's cool.
AndyMazurPhoto.com. Right, highly encourage place. You check it out.
Yep, thank you.
Once we love one another in spite of our differences. Once we love one another in spite of our flaws, let them know I am with you.
You know, I love celebrating Chicago and people from here getting it done and being recognized for the art that they make. Ryan Lamar's here. Well, you know, and Andy, you do the introduction.
Yeah, you know, Ryan went to a fantastic high school in Park Ridge, Illinois, by the name of Main Township High School East. And I got to know him a little bit. We were asked to speak at a career day for those that were interested in going into any form of the media, which included radio, television, and also film. And I don't want to speak for Ryan, but I think we got a really good head start on getting to college by the experiences that we had at Maine East, with the fact that we had a fully operational radio station and also a fully operational cable television station and a lot of opportunity to do some things.
Well, you don't know. Maybe Ryan hated school.
Yeah. I think he did. I think he liked it, though. I think we talked about
that. Did you like school, Ryan? Was that a good thing?
I liked it. You know what? It was cool to have all that stuff that I was accessible to.
Sure.
Had access to.
Sure.
Because if they didn't have that, I'd probably be another conversation we'd probably be having right now. But that's important to show that.
Well, it jumpstarts your passion, right? Because you got access when you're a kid. Yep. You got all that energy and all that drive and all that desire. Look, you got a movie, man. You made a movie.
You know the cool thing about it too is that it shows that sometimes you don't know what it is you want to do, and that's why it's so important to explore when you're at a young age. But in these schools, when you don't have things, you know, like that to explore, it's kind of, you know, so yeah. I was able to get that.
Movie's called Canal Street. Out and available where, when, and how much money can I give you?
Well, you can give me as much as you want to give me. But the movie is out in theaters right now. We are in select theaters. We are playing at the Icon Roosevelt Theater currently right now.
And the more people to buy tickets now, the wider distribution it's going to get. Tell me about the cast.
I mean, with the cast, we were blessed with Michael T. Williamson, Mekhi Phifer, Brashear Gray, Woody McClain, Lance Reddick, Jamie Hector, Chris Spencer, Will Young Lee. I mean, I can keep
you got a lot of good actors, and unless you got Andy Major money, they were doing this because they realized how good a script it was, and your ability as a filmmaker, so that's tribute to you.
They definitely were not there for the money. This definitely was a passion project, and they really gravitated toward the script, and they really enjoyed it, and they came on board. And we shot it in 16 and a half days, so they were
that
able
helps.
To, yes, so they
that
were able helps. To get back, you know, sure. To making their money.
Well,
and tight
indie, schedule. I mean, it's an indie film, but the film is getting great reviews. Richard Roper, it's Sun Times and others have glowing reviews for this film. Canal Street is really a film about Chicago because it's something that we see every day. I mean, it talks about violence, it talks about race. It has so much to do with understanding each other and fighting through stereotypes. Was the idea to make a film about Chicago and make some of the things that are happening in the city?
Well, and Amir Wyndham,
yeah, MP. Introduce Amir. Look Amir at you taking Wyndham. All the credit. Talk about Amir.
Amir Wyndham is our amazing, one of our amazing executive producers, music supervisor. As quiet as it's kept, he's one of the co-writers and creators of the song Happy with Pharrell Williams.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, this guy is a...
Sorry, that didn't work out.
Horrible song.
Look, I'll say this real quick and then I'll let you piggyback off this. We wrote this script in 2005. Mm-hmm. So we were writing for Chicago in 2005, not 2019. Sadly, this film is still relevant today. Like, Amen. It shouldn't be relevant. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we wanted to continue to create a story like this, not only to highlight the violence and, you know, and where we are segregated in America, but we wanted to, all right, show the problem and now show a solution to the problem and how we can move past the issue so we can be a part of the solution. And people have left the theaters feeling super uplifted, and that is the main reason why we do what we do.
Yeah, God bless. Amir, what do you want to say to that?
Yeah, and I was going to say too, you know, our movie is I say it's colorless. You know, it's kind of colorless, and it's if you just have faith and you believe in something, our movie is absolutely for you. We created, to me, a product that is a entertaining spiritual retreat. And it's not, you know, I think sometimes when you try to make movies like this that are positive nature, they can come off a little corny. And I think we
corny, preachy, that kind of thing.
Corny,
well, what's the difference
preachy.
Between faith-driven and faith-based?
You know, faith-driven is a movement, and it goes back to my point. It's not really made to just entertain you for an hour and a half and you leave and, you know, oh, it was a great movie. And that's
make
it.
You think.
Right. It makes you think. And I think that's what our movie has done, is create a conversation, because it's not about it's not about being African-American and just highlighting the social injustice mm-hmm. in that regard. It's about, to me, our movie is about unity, faith, and love.
God bless.
The plot, which has a young man who grew up on the south side of Chicago move with his dad to Wilmette. That's the idea here, this idea that he's moving to a predominantly white area. Mm-hmm. And stereotypes and everything that comes with that is part of the conflict of this movie. But it then also is about faith in the fact that his father is unwavering in trying to clear his name from a murder charge. But, mm-hmm. Talk about your life and how much of this is a fictional story, how much of this is taking from real occurrences, this idea of being someone placed into an area that they're not familiar with.
So, people always ask me, like, how true is this story? My writing partners, John Nitter and Adam Key, who are also, Midwest natives, John being of Polish descent and Adam being of African and American and Jewish descent, and then myself being African American, we were really able to pull from different sides of the pendulum to create a unique story. So I myself, my parents didn't work out on a relationship type situation, but they were still in my life as parents. Dad stayed on the south side, my mom stayed in Park Ridge.
Right.
So that, there you go.
That's their flavor. There's a flavor right there, right?
And I literally had both feet on both sides of the track.
Well, you get both views of the world.
Exactly. And I enjoy that, because I was able to create a movie about a kid going from the south side to Park Ridge. What is the experience? And then how do you take those stereotypes and then turn them on his back? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about racial, issues within the black community, together, like within the white community, within like different types of cultures, because it's not just black on white. Like, that's, for me, that's lazy, right? Let's address that.
It's okay, a stereotype in itself.
It
right,
is,
right,
exactly. Right, right. We have, I don't want to give too much away, we have an amazing scene. Everybody that's seen the movie has seen the barbershop scene, and it's where Mekhi Phifer, who is actually running for mayor in the city of Chicago, who is also the prosecutor of the case, goes in to get his haircut. And the black community is like, well, why you got to choose this case? Why do you got to go up against this guy? You know what I mean? You don't even know. You don't even have a weapon. You know what I mean? And he's like, it's my civic duty to do this.
A little flavor of To Kill a Mockingbird, right? Different slice of that.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's how you get these conversations to be taught, to be discussed way outside the theater.
Good for you.
That's why we're on the air right now.
I was going to say this too. I think that's the part. I mean, I think we all agree with this. We know that racism is definitely something that still exists, but I don't think everything is racism. I think some things is literally just not understanding one another. And if we don't have conversations, if we don't look each other in the eye, just spend 10-15 minutes just talking about our ideas, where we're from, how we grew up,
right,
and giving each other different perspectives.
And you still don't have to agree, but you break
right,
the hate
exactly,
down. You break
exactly,
the fear down.
There you go. You break the fear. And I think that's what our movie absolutely promotes too, is just open your mind a little bit. You don't have to sit in your own mind for the rest of your life. Step out of it.
I'm going to take a quick break. Come back. Andy Major's insisting on asking deeply personal questions that are none of his business.
Right, exactly.
Stand by for
exactly.
that. In the meantime, at Canal Street Movie, canalstreetmovie.com. Go support this film. Go support this film, because we want these guys to make more movies. They got a lot on their plate, but we want this movie to be seen, most importantly, right?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Amir, does it sound familiar at all?
That sounds like a... What is this? Is this new? That's your new single? You releasing it today?
Yeah.
On the show?
Yeah, I'm talking about... we're dropping it. We're dropping it about noon today.
Bro, it sounds like you might have you something there.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Did you get to a point with this song where you were tired of seeing people sing it badly everywhere, yes, on the trains, on the streets, wherever?
Man, I remember being here in Chicago. This is the first time I heard it on the radio, was here in Chicago,
okay,
ironically. I was driving somewhere. And the thing that I got tired of was when people knew you worked on it, when they heard it, like if let's say we're at a store or something, and they knew you worked on it, they're like, that comes on like what are you gonna do? Are you gonna dance?
No,
you dance when your favorite song comes on in the store. So it was like all these weird moments all the time.
I don't want to make this about Pharrell because he doesn't need the publicity, but how'd you guys meet?
You know, working in the industry, you work with a lot of artists, and everybody has, you know, their favorite producers. And so he worked with T.I. on a song.
Okay.
I was just a young guy in the studio. And
made an impression, and the rest is history.
You know, actually, it actually came through just being a music supervisor in film and TV. And I worked on the movie Despicable Me 2.
Mm.
And he just so happened to get hired to do all the original music.
No, right. And he's a good buddy to have.
Yep.
Ryan Lamar's here. Ryan's director of the brand new film Canal Street. We've been talking about the movie, but more importantly, Andy Major knows stuff about Ryan that goes all the way back to Main East.
I'm not going
to
go into that, though. I'm just kind of curious, too. And we were talking a little bit about during the break, but life now, how much has it changed since this movie's come out and you got good reviews and people are going to the theater to see it?
You know what? I'm like right at the point where stuff changes. I'm like right there. You know, I was talking to my friend Rebecca, and I was telling her, like, I can feel like it actually changing for the first time, like in the moment of it, where like people are starting to talk to you differently. You could see, you guys have probably seen it, like that look.
Yeah, the buzz builds.
Like,
exactly.
And I'm like, you're my cousin, though. Why are you talking to me like that? You know, I mean, you know, I was in New York yesterday, and we were on Sway, and I was just like, I'm in. Yeah. I watch this show every day.
Primetime, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm with Sway. And, you know, and I'm just thankful. You know what I mean? God is blessing, you know, us right now to be vessels to promote a pretty good project. So I'm just
along
for the ride.
How is the film industry in Chicago? How did it support you? And, you know, as you get bigger, are you going to continue to try and make films here in Chicago?
Well, I live here. You know, I moved to L.A. in 2005, and I got back in 2016 to do Canal Street. But Canal Street was the film where, like, we were like, we're going to go to L.A. to get it made and bring it back. It just took us, you know, over 13 years to get that done. But I remember before I left, God bless him, Harold Ramis was trying to do what, you know, CineSpace, you know, and Dick Wolf bringing the shows to Chicago.
Sure.
You know, and what Lana is doing, you know, like, he was trying to do that. I went to Columbia College, and he was always coming and talking about, we're going to just stay in Chicago to stay. But there just wasn't really an industry at the time, you know, because the tax incentive was cut.
Well, you don't have to make them all here. Just two out of three.
No.
Two out of every three going forward.
I'm so tired of seeing movies everywhere else.
Why not?
Chicago's beautiful.
And let's make it affordable. Let's get back to a point where we encourage the film and TV business.
Exactly.
And Dick Wolf's been a big part of that.
Exactly.
He's got to change the rules.
And they keep shooting here and not calling it Chicago. I'm like, that's
stop it
over
there. Stop it.
Right.
Ryan Lamar, where do we see the movie?
You can see it. We are in select theaters again. You can go to canalstreetmovie.com, type in your zip code, and we'll be in your area. We are playing at the Icon currently right now. We are also at Marcus Cinemas in Chicago Heights, and we are also in Country Club Hills of the Marcus. But Chicago, if you like good films, you're tired of seeing bad movies, go see Canal Street if you want to be uplifted when you leave the theater.
Amen.
Great.
Ryan Lamar, Mira, thank you guys both for coming in.
Thank you.
Because the weather sucks.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate you being here. In the Northwestern Medicine Newsrooms, that's where we're going to go next. Wendy and Bill are here, and nice to see both of you. I don't know how long you've been with the station, but I'm hearing good things.
Oh, thank you, Steve. That's very, very exciting.
You know, I hear the show, as I told you guys, well, you guys know this, I hear the show pretty much every day.
Yeah.
At what point in the 3 hours do you guys get sick of each other? Is it like a little before noon, closer to one?
That does not happen for me.
No, honestly,
that does
me
not
neither.
Happen.
All right, let's talk about what you both tell me separately off the air about each other.
I think if it was an hour longer, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
But right
you think 1:30.
Good.
1:30, 1:45, that'd be the problem area.
We've split by then.
I think 1:10 is more realistic.
1:10, that's
your
trouble
spot.
3 hours
is perfect.
It is a good number.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think Steve is projecting about his
forward.
Crew. Yeah, he's like, what time? Because I get sick of all the guys I work with.
Yeah, who are you sick of?
An hour.
Listen,
20 minutes.
I love people.
You can't get sick of Justin. That's impossible.
I love people.
You're losing
that's who I am.
You're
people person.
Members here every day. There's more and more people
it's like
gone.
An Agatha Christie
basically,
radio show.
Basically, whenever Rokan needs a cast member, he just takes somebody from the show.
He does.
Yeah,
he dips in, pulls a guy out.
Yeah. And what is coming up today?
Do you know the story of Will Novak, the most interesting bachelor party participant
in
history?
Yes, he's on our show, yeah.
Did you have him on?
He was on. He was the most valuable person on the planet about a week ago.
He's coming on with us.
Yeah. This guy's a maniac.
So interesting, isn't it?
The most thing about me to the story is he's married.
Yeah.
So, which to me means his wife is definitely having an affair because she wanted him out of town.
I can't wait to listen because it's a great follow-up because he was continuing to raise money.
Yeah.
To talk to him. He's kind of right on the heels of it. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good story. What time are you doing now?
Story. We were thinking probably at 11:05.
All right, that works.
Are you open at 11:05?
Sure, I'm good.
Right, pencil that in. Jasmine, 11:05.
We'll come back tomorrow and do whatever this is. Here's Wendy.